This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable. All right, everybody, this is the Hunting Gear Podcast. My name's Dan. I'm your host. Today we are joined by Tom. Yeah, I don't edit, so I always admit my mistakes here. Yeah. Tom Lalonde, how are we doing, man?
Doing well, man. You knocked it out of the park there. So better than most folks.
Yep. And you are with XOP, and we're going to talk all about the brand XOP today. However, I got something that I want to talk about right now. And dude, we just had this July like cold front move through the area this week. It was like 99 degrees on Monday of this week, and a cold front came through today and yesterday. The high is going to be like 74 degrees with almost no humidity. Yeah. I'm on my back deck this morning drinking my coffee, and I'm like, I started thinking about tree stands, and I started thinking about deer and cameras and all the stuff in my bow and things like that. So it's good, dude. This weather's got me fired up.
You are, it's so funny. You are the fourth person I've talked to this week under that same concept of like, hey, it was cold this morning. It's been chilly. I had a buddy in northern Minnesota that's like, dude, it's 69 degrees. I'm thinking about like deer season, and he and I got a hunt plan. So I know we're talking gear. We just got done. We were just at Hunt Stock up in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. And so you're talking hunting, you know, all weekend and getting to hang out and get together with a bunch of people again within the industry. And so my mind has just been totally shifted, 100% shifted towards the fall already. So, and it's, it'll be here soon. I mean, it's already getting towards mid end of July.
Yeah. What are your plans for this upcoming season? You just going to stick to Wisconsin, or do you got, you're bouncing around?
So finally get to do some, well, I shouldn't say finally. We're doing some really fun stuff this year. We've got Gear Lab in Wisconsin. And then I'm actually going to do a good hunt with a fun hunt with a good buddy that I haven't gotten to hunt with, in a while, just because of the other hunts and stuff. Then I'm going to Kansas, for the first time. So that's, I'm geeking about. And then we've got a fun hunt in Indiana planned. And that'll be, so that'll be a good one. Kind of our adventure hunt that we do, every year. Last year was Minnesota Boundary Waters. So, and then we'll see. We might sprinkle in a little bit of Wisconsin rut hunt and stuff here and there. But how about you? What do you got planned?
Man, so I just had my knee replaced earlier this year in March. And so I canceled all my out-of-state hunts just because I didn't know what was going to happen or how, like, what recovery really looked like. And I'm glad I did. But I'm going to probably just be sticking to Iowa this year, just taking an advantage of more tag opportunities that Iowa has, probably shoot some more does. A huge focus of mine is going to be taking my oldest boy out again and trying to get him something with any kind of antlers, like small buck, big buck, what kind of, but he shot a doe last year. And for some reason that wasn't good enough for him because his best friend, his grandpa took him out and he shot like a 130 class 10 pointer. Oh, and gosh. So my boy's like, he's kind of like, dad, you're the big time hunter. Why don't you, why can't you put me on like a 170 class or something like that? I'm just like, come on. Like, there's no way I'll ever let my kid shoot a 170 if I haven't already shot a 170. Come on. You know, so.
Man, that must be rough. Your only plans for the year is Iowa. That's a hard, There's a lot of guys that are playing a violin for you. You know what I mean? That's
yeah, exactly. That's exactly. Exactly.
No, but, that's awesome. I love getting the youth out. And that's fun that he's getting competitive and fired up about it. I mean, that's yeah. awesome. You just tell him,
yeah.
here's what you do. You just hand him a tree stand, like one of the old steel hang on ones, just the awful ones, you know, that we all grew up with.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, hey, yeah. you go figure it out. You know what I mean? Old daddy ain't going to, you got to learn today, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I had, I can remember the very first tree stand I ever bought with my own money was mm-hmm. at a store called Farm King in Burlington, oh, yeah. Iowa. And dude, it was $60. And I had, yeah. I don't know how I got the money. It was probably from a summer job. And I bought two of them for $120. And I went and put them out and put them together. And they were, you know, they were yeah. worth $60, if that makes
yeah.
sense. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was my first ever purchase with my own money, as far as tree stands were concerned. And, I wasn't mobile back then. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I almost want my son to learn kind of like how I did. Now he's only 11 right now. He's not going to do anything on his own yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think when it comes time, I'm going to be like, hey, bud, yeah. you see that public down at the southern part of our county here, you go figure that out. And then I'll put you on, you know, on some of the other farms that I've worked to get on. So
yeah, yeah.
yeah we'll see. We'll see.
There's so much of that that's needed too, is like that keeping that grit alive in people and that development of grit. Right. And I think that's a huge part is challenging them and putting them, you know, in a controlled environment, safe environment, but let them experience, you know, the daunting task of breaking down ground and having disappointment and all that. I think it's so important to youth still.
Yeah. If you want to be good at deer hunting, I'll say this. And I actually talked about it earlier this week in a Nine Finger Chronicles episode that I did, but I was like, dude, if you want to be good at hunting and putting yourself in shooting range, especially with archery equipment,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna fail a ton of times to get close to within 30 yards of a whitetail. Like gun hunting's maybe a little bit different, but archery, dude, like if you want to someday shoot a bow, you're gonna fail and get pissed and kick the dirt so many times between
what.
And I even do that to this day, and I've been hunting for almost 30 years now. So
I was just going to say, crazy. I find myself doing that every year. I think that's a huge part of what people as in general, right? Even ones like you and I have grown up failing. People who in the culture now, it's we see the highlights, which is awesome. Like that is super cool to see folks' highlights and stuff. But you almost forget, or you do for sure forget, I think, at least I find myself forgetting, how many times, you know, failure was in front of them before they got to that point, or, you know, how many seasons did they not get a buck before they ended up punching their tag? You know what I mean? And we can get so caught up in that concept of it, of, oh, you know, so-and-so, they tagged out, so-and-so tagged out, I'm the only one who hasn't. And it's like, yeah, they may have tagged out, but they may have been scouting that buck, you know, all summer. Or, you know, it might have been a piece that their buddy turned them onto and had some pins and stuff like that. And so, like, the community helping each other and growing, I think, is we almost need to remember that, of like, and highlight that to an extent and talk about that, of like, hey, man, I spent, you know, whatever, 30 days in the woods before I got this one deer, you know, and failed three times before I had shot opportunity XYZ, whatever. So, you can get so caught up in that. And it's just like, you got to slow down and get back to kind of like a Fred Bear mindset, I think, about where you're just happy to be out. You're truly trying to soak it in and just learn. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, I just want to learn the deer. It's a win if I see, you know, see a deer, see a buck, especially like, am I am I fine-tuning my craft to where I'm seeing deer consistently? And especially, you know, different bucks and stuff. So that's, and it's a challenge to do that. I totally get it. That's, you know, that doesn't, that's not as juicy as big bucks dying every week kind of a deal. So.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. All right, guys, you know me and I love eating wild game, but I don't eat wild game every single night. Every once in a while, I'll reach for a side of beef. And that's why I trust Omaha Steaks. Because Omaha Steaks are sent directly to my door, I can keep my freezer stocked without having to go to the grocery store. It's honestly like having a trusted butcher and gourmet food shop right at your house. Last week, I pulled out their pure ground ribeye burgers for a quick grill session. The flavor and marbling was unreal, rich, juicy, and miles ahead of any average grocery store meat. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan and Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com. Well, that was our standard 9 minutes and 40 seconds of BS before we get into the meat and potatoes of today's episode. But Tom, I want to talk to you about what your role is at XOP.
Yeah. So XOP is awesome, in my opinion, because we're a huge company as far as our sales footprint goes. But as far as staffing goes, we're smaller. So what that means is we all get to wear a lot of hats. I'm part-time there. I work at Xcel Energy, which is a utility company, here in the Wisconsin, full-time. And then I do XOP stuff on the side. What I get to do now, I've kind of come up through doing sales, doing shows, working with staff. And now I manage our content hunts. So it was a brainchild of mine that I love deer camp. And that's what a lot of my, I'm the guy where I'd rather go out hunt with a bunch of buddies than go out and hunt by myself, because I just like sharing that with everybody.
Yeah.
And talking about it and learning from each other and working together to reach this common goal. And so I'm the type where, like, hey, if you and I are out on a hunt, you know, hunting the same piece, splitting up, and then we come back, if you kill, I'm running down that tree stand and running over, you know, away from my hunt and coming over to where you're at to help you track that buck is my personality. And so we've kind of brought that into these hunts that we do. And It's been amazing and wildly successful as far as from an R&D product R&D perspective, a content perspective, a team perspective. It's really created this cool continuity across our brand, and that's a huge part of that has been because of the continuity of our products that you've seen and the growth of those, and the improvement of those over the last, 3 years and everything too. So it's kind of, and then a lot of the staff communication. So I'll work with a lot of our partners, and then like outfitters and stuff that reach out to us, I'll reach out to them and kind of help fill, you know, be essentially a liaison to an extent too. So I get to fill a lot of hats, and then a lot of our our product launch stuff, filming and stuff like that. I get to be a part of all that too.
Little marketing, little sales, little bit of whatever the company needs to move forward. Sounds like.
Yep.
That's standard in the hunting realm, right? Everybody yep. that I talk to, especially on this podcast, it's just like, I am not just the VP of marketing or the engineer. Mm-hmm. I'm the guy who does this, and this. And especially with the way that the hunting industry seems to be going, is just becoming more efficient, and you know, people are putting, you know, have completely different roles outside of I'm the salesman, I'm the VP of marketing,
whatever
the case is.
100%.
Yep. Now, the brand XOP.
Yeah, like,
I don't know if I want to treat XOP like a person or if I want to treat it like a thing, but when you're tasked with describing what XOP the brand is or who it mm-hmm. is, what's your answer to that?
Ooh, that's a good question. A couple of the words that we really link to, Brock and I, Brock's our head of brand and growth, and does it, a lot of the product development too. A lot of what we want to do is attainable adventure, if I had to wrap it up into a couple words. And that attainability, you know, it links to why we like to keep our prices down, why we like to have a wide variety of product line. Mm-hmm. And then the adventure side, I think that is so important for who Brock and I are, but also like who our people are. Generally, as mobile hunters, they do it because of the love for that, some piece of that adventure. And we never want to get disconnected from either of those two words. So like most of our content hunts that we do, we do them very low budget, I would say. Generally, excluding the camera guy, it's like $2,500 for the three of us to go. And and again, that's just a random kind of number, but like a general guideline for our mindset of like, we want to do these hunts in a way to where like anybody could go and do these hunts. Mm-hmm. So like the river hunt that we did the last few years, it was kind of our first test case in it. That was just something I want to do because I got five kids at home and going out west once a year just doesn't make sense. But hey, going down the road, staying within the same state, it's a $30 tag, you know, but Brock's got a canoe. You know, you buy some dehydrated meals. He's got a tent. We're camping out on the sandbars, and something that literally everybody can do. And I think that is something we keep tied to all of our hunts. Mm-hmm. We, you know, like I said, I work with some of our outfitters and stuff that reach out to us. So there's like we could go ham and go on these crazy hunts where you're, you know, shooting huge whitetails, shooting huge elk. And you're paying them for that, or you know, trading content for prod for hunt or whatever it is, right? The opportunities that present yourself, but those they just don't feel like us. At least doing them all the time. There's one of them we just did. Brock went to Montana with one of our guys, but a lot of that was for actually product development conversations with him about how he uses our stuff in the backcountry over elk wallows in the early season. Mm-hmm. So it was very uncomfortable for us to go to this outfitted situation. And he still gave us, you know, he said, hey, here's the farm. I'm not, you know, not going to tell you where the stands are. You guys go hang and hunt, do whatever you want, scout it out. So it was still that, a similar vibe, but obviously. So outside of that one, everything has always been lined up of, hey, this has to be attainable. We went up to the boundary waters of northern Minnesota and hiked in. You know what I mean? We didn't even use a boat. We could have used a boat, snowmobiles. Unfortunately, the lake wasn't frozen over. So, but we, you know, we could have grabbed a boat and stuff, but we wanted to keep it to where anybody could go do this. You got to be okay with -17 degree weather. But that's truly who we are, as a whole, is attainable adventure.
Okay.
Is where.
And how does that then transfer into the product? Because you're a business that sells hunting gear and equipment. How does what you just said translate over to your products?
So like I mentioned, part of it is the budget. So being attainable for anybody. We keep it, we've got high-end stuff. We've got, I don't want to say low-end, but entry-level stuff, to where people who are just trying it out want to figure out, see if they like saddle hunting, see if they like using a hang-on more, or a climber. But then even within those categories, like our high-end stuff is still considerably affordable. And so that's a huge part of what we want to do. And then the other big part of it, I would say, is the broad scale of products. Like there's not many companies that have saddles, that have hang-ons, that have climbers, and then the climbing sticks and all the harnesses too. Just that in itself, having all of everything you would need for mobile hunting. And also like has stuff that you can use on the ground. Our backpacks are designed. Brock and I, we struggle because we love hunting from the ground, you know, going in the woods together and hunting on the ground, and the fun that you have, the experience you get to have with that deer when it's close, is like no other. And so being able to hunt on the ground, our packs are designed with that in mind too. And we're working on products that are designed, you know, kind of conceptually for the ground hunter. So being able to be for everybody, for every budget, but then also still give them that ability to take it on that, the harshest adventure that they could imagine. I don't think, not that I'm saying anybody shouldn't, but I don't know if there's going to be somebody that replicates our Boundary Waters hunt that time of year as far as packing in. And Brock took, he had the fly in the meat shelf position, and he had a Sea to Summit 65 liter dry bag that he just stuffed with all of his gear. And he actually used, we wanted to test the, you know, does this stand? Is it going to hold up to having a deer on there and all of Brock's gear for a week in, you know, negative temperatures? We definitely pushed it to the limit. Like it was getting all of there. But it handled it. We packed it out. It was handled all the gear. And so we want to be able to go and experience those boundaries so that we know that we can recommend it for, like, if somebody is crazy like us and wants to try an adventure hunt like that, they can do that. And we can tell them, hey, this is what we did. You know, we might shift this, that, and the other thing, but just being something that anybody can pick any of our items and go out and live out their adventure that they want, is how we do it through our products.
Gotcha. Who's your demographic?
Who's our demographic? Man, I would say anybody and everybody, and we've seen that with, actually, I would say anybody under, you know, 350, as our weight rating for most of our stuff is, because I literally put, you know, somebody that's, you know, I'm trying to think how tall he was, 6'6", roughly, probably, you know, 200 to 300 pounds, whatever he was, at a show, had him jump in one of the saddles and do that. And then like the next couple people later was a short gal, you know, that came up and put it on, and it's going to fit them differently. Right. But because of our adjustability and because of, having something for everybody, we can meet that need of everybody. So, most people. And so, yeah, I would say our demographic's pretty well wide open. We are going towards the direction of like having a little bit more specified sizing. So what, you know, that helps too for the guys that are in the middle and I don't need all this slack. So rather than just cutting it off, they're able to buy more of their size so that they can utilize all that slack and everything, if that makes sense. So I'd say that's kind of our scale for now.
Gotcha. Okay. And so, I mean, obviously you guys have, you're a tree stand company. You sell saddle platforms and you sell the saddle itself. And you, you also sell something called an Orbit, which is, looks like bow hangers for those who are not allowed to have screw-in steps on public land. Right. And so that covers kind of the mobile saddle hunter guy. You have big sticks like the Hydro and the X2 that are very compact, and you have bigger sticks like the X3 and the LM04, which is the, your older school, pack for less, I mean, which is just a little bit more, like bigger size and probably weight that's going with that. And so when I think, I'll just tell you this, when I think of someone who's running XOP gear, I'm thinking of obviously someone who wants to be as mobile as humanly possible with your saddle offerings, but also the tree stands as well. Like, I don't look at your guys's tree stands and go, this guy is going to sit in the same spot every single day of his vacation, right? Yep. He's moving, he's mobile, and he cares about quality equipment, right? And that doesn't sound like, that doesn't, that's not trying to be any type of a sales pitch for you guys, but one thing that I feel that I'm pretty good at is being able to look at the pictures, the brand, the content that these people put out, whether it's XOP or it's another brand, and be able to guess and look and have a feel of what they're trying to accomplish and who their demographic is. And it seems like the people who are buying XOP gear are a hair more serious from a gear selection standpoint and a deer hunting standpoint, that they're just a little bit more closer to the hardcore than they are of the weekend warrior, you know, type of vibe, if that makes sense.
100%. Yeah. And that's kind of what we focus on. We definitely have the products in the Rubicon and the Ion who are for those guys who like, hey, I've got my property pretty well figured out, but so I'm going to set these couple stands here, but if I need to move, I can. But then we've also got the products for the guys that are literally packing in and out every time they go out, and they might have, you know, they might be the ones who are going in a mile, going in 2 miles. So it really just, there's a lot of flexibility for it because we do all of it, as hunters, like we truly do. Everything that we make, we have, and we utilize, so that's a huge part of it, is to not just make products that, you know, look good, sell good and stuff, but stuff on these content hunts that we've tested, that we've put through the ringer and confirmed, hey, this works and this works well.
So you kind of mentioned putting your products through the ringer on some of these hunts that you guys do. Do you ever get customer feedback that has maybe resulted in a product that has been changed or a new idea has been sparked on how your end user uses said tree stand or saddle or climbing stick or pack, and then you make adjustments to that for the 2.0 or the 3.0 version?
Yeah, I mean, we're constantly taking in feedback from people. A lot of it actually happens in like, so we're constantly taking in feedback, and we kind of run it against our panel of our team. So from our content creators, and we say, hey, this was brought up. Here's a product idea. What do you think? It's good? Do you think it's valuable? And then depending on a lot of that, will kind of direct the product where it needs to go. A lot of it actually happens for the most part on like Gear Lab. That's a huge one where, because we have a bunch of our guys come in and they all get to test the product, each product for, you know, it might not be the whole week, but a couple hunts and get some hunts in with it, pack it in, put it through its ringer. That's where we get a lot of the refinement, I would say, mm-hmm. kind of that you're talking about. Generally, we've been doing this long enough and we kind of know, like, hey, this stuff is good. There's only so many things you can do to a stick while still meeting, you know, the safety standards.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you're not pigeonholed, but you are to an extent, right? Like a stick can only look so many different ways before it's a climbing stick, you know? So, yeah. And I think you're kind of seeing that. But we definitely take a lot of what we do a lot of times is, and you see it in like the Rubicon Ion compared to the Vanish and the Aerate. Hey, we love this about this product. We love this about this product. And we know that's good. Smash them together. And then you've got a new product. So that's a lot of what we'll do as far as V2s and, you know, reiterations of stuff. And a lot of that's confirmed. I would say a lot of it's confirmed by like the sales, right? So like if item sells well, and the feedback on it's good, you're like, okay, hey, this one works. And then you just take you take that refinement. But a lot of it is we try and we're always open, and that's a really important part for us. But we also like really turn our ears to our team. So like one of the guys and the people that are doing it all the time, right? Clifton Denny, Dan, Matthew, Samco Tradbo, Jason Samkoviak down there, Tag and Brag. These guys that are out here, Dylan Lenz is a huge one. These guys that are out there doing it, whether they're on camera or not, we kind of filter a lot of that through, you know, just to confirm. Byron Horton is a huge one.
I love Byron.
What's that?
I love Byron. He's the man.
Yeah, yeah. No, and he's critical on stuff. So it's awesome. So we'll run everything kind of through our team as a whole. And that includes our pro staff, field staff, all those guys. Just to kind of, because like there's so many, you know, you get so many, it'd be sweet if you do this, it'd be sweet if you do that. And it's like, there's only so much that you can do. Especially, a lot of it comes down to the safety standards that we hold. Based on the standards from the climbing and the arborist fields, being 16 KN, it takes a lot to hold up to that. So that's kind of also what filters your, you know, prospective things. We've had a lot of new material stuff that blows your mind. Like literally you look at a stand or a platform and you're like, and then you hold it and you're like, this thing should feel way bigger than what it is. But, you know, because of the metal and you're able to do some cool stuff, but it doesn't hold up to our standards. So we don't run with it. There's been, tons of products that have, you know, from sticks to platforms to harnesses, and different, you know, even parts of harnesses that we've had to, you know, just lay down and put aside because we're like, we're not, safety standards are too important. So, and they don't hold up to it. So, all of that kind of drives our product R&D cycle and everything. And on most products, we have about a year and a half, 2 year R&D cycle. Generally speaking, right? You know, backpacks can be a little bit different, but even those were under that too. And that's a huge part. That can be good and bad, right? Like you can be working on something and then somebody launches something a year before you're ready or 6 months before you were going to launch it. And it's like, dadgummit, you know, we've been working on it, but there's still space for that. And we feel it. So, you know, there's give and take with all of it.
Yeah. Okay. So how do you guys, like when you're sitting around the XOP round table and you're having the discussion of what product to release next or what category to jump into or making adjustments to that next version of an older product, what do those conversations look like?
Dynamic. So there's a lot of, Brock does a really good job. He's from outside of the hunting industry. He's from the rock climbing world and even has a big art background too. But he's very mechanically, driven as far as how his brain works. And so he brings a lot from the climbing world. You see that with the holiday harness. And you're going to be seeing it, you know, continually with a lot of our products going forward too. And you see it with the orange color, right? The orange I-beam. That was definitely his idea. A lot of it is like, what do we feel like we can improve? Like, what are the biggest negatives is a lot of the questions. You know, what are the feedback from our team about, man, and you hear it at shows. Like, what's everybody hearing the most at shows? You know, for a while it was with the Vanish and the Air-Aid, it was those seat cushions. They just deflate, you know? So then we found that through our R&D cycles that, hey, a wider seat with a thinner cushion actually does better than a big fat cushion on a, you know, smaller seat platform or profile. So a lot of it is kind of taken in. That's why shows are, important and our team is so important to us too, because it's like, hey, what are you guys hearing? What are some things you guys need, as far as, you know, products? And then like, what are you guys trying any different kind of hunting? How can we fill that gap? And then a lot of it is like, hey, we've got this harebrained idea. Let's try it. And then put it through the test cycle. And if it doesn't hold up to the safety standards, then we pivot. But a lot of it is just a curiosity. You know, you look at the stands that the Fly and the Superfly. A lot of that was just like, how light can we get some stands that still hold up to our testing standards, that still hold, you know, 300-pound dudes? And what does it take to get there, and how can we get there in such a refined manner that, and so that's where that came from. And then I would say it's such a curiosity stake or position, but also really critical thinking. You know, like before the holiday harness, most harnesses had shoulder straps, and it's like, well, why do they have that? And is that the safest way to actually catch, you know, to be caught? Or like you see in this industry where you could fall from hundreds of feet and you need to get caught safely. How do they have it set up? Right? So the climbing world, how does that? So really trying to look across industries and for that cross-pollination, I think is we can get in such a vacuum here in the hunting industry because we're so passionate about what we do.
Yeah.
That we can kind of forget about what's outside of ourselves. So we really try and keep an eye out other industries, car industries, rock climbing, tree climbing industries. And then you kind of take that through the filter of, you know, conceptually the general public. Like you don't want it to be like rope mods is a great example. Like you don't want your rope mod tying it, securement method to be so complex that like five people can figure it out because they understand knots. You know what I mean? Where, you know, so that's where like the C3 micro buckle is a great middle of the road. Like, hey, I want to save a bunch of weight, but I really don't know about rope mods. And so I want to stick with a buckle system. Well, a C3 micro buckle is half the weight of a standard cam buckle. So you're saving a ton right there. And it packs way down. And so you're able to really kind of see that just like mentally, just look at where the gaps are, right? So a lot of our time is kind of as a team taken up with that and having those conversations of what are the issues that we're hearing, you know, or not even issues, but what are the things like the improvements that people want to see? What are the gaps that we feel like there are still within our categories? And then how do we feel like we can meet our needs better? You know, one of them that people were getting so crazy on accessories, which accessories are awesome. But to Brock and I, it's really, and the rest of our team, it's like, I want to take less stuff, like to truly be a minimalist. It should be about taking less stuff in the woods. And so how do we do that within our whole tree stand transport system? Well, then that's where we, you know, the backpacks and the gamma system and the buckle, the way the buckles are designed to where they just two buckles and you've got everything out. But it allows you to pack in that extra gear if you need in the late season and everything. And so that efficient simplicity is a huge part of what drives our product cycle too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So are you guys planning on just continuing to make, let me pull it up here real quick. Stands and platforms. So the Fly, the Superfly, the Revolt are the three newest tree stands, correct?
Yeah, they're the high-end ones. And then the Roam too.
The Roam. Yep.
Okay. Yep. So that's.
And then the Ion, Rubicon, Air Raid, Evolution, and Vanish are your older models. Are you guys planning to keep all of those offerings, or at some point work some of these out of the lineup?
Yeah, so it depends on the product. I would say there's always potentially an end date to a product, right? Like the Vanish and the Air Raid are so closely related to the Ion and Rubicon that it's like, well, you know, do we really need that many? Mm-hmm. And so situations like that, I would say you've seen it. I mean, we've seen it with the Cold World and the Retrograde, right? From a couple years ago before the Fly and the Superfly. Generally, as we refine our product lineup, looking at, hey, do we need this one or do we phase this one out, you know, these two out and everything like that. And there's some that hold strong. I think one of the biggest parts for us is we want to make sure to be able to have something for the guys that are those weekend warriors that have their properties pretty well set up, but they want to still stay mobile-ish, you know what I mean, if they need to.
Yep.
So that's where the Rubicon Ion kind of style, the Edge saddle platform, that is a 5-pound saddle platform, but it's a great, easy to hang, super secure platform for the private land saddle hunter that's like, hey, this is my saddle spot, and like a semi-permanent saddle setup. I do that we've got it on several of my farms. And so that's it, kind of having that offering, but then still having, making sure we're hitting the middle of the road too with like the Roam. That's a huge item for us, like that budget-friendly mobile guy that wants to try out mobile hunting but doesn't know if he wants to commit to it. So as long as we can kind of fill in each gap within our space, and we have products to fill that, we're going to keep doing that. That's kind of the biggest thing for us when we look at products and everything is what gaps do they fill? Is there overlap? If so, what do we take out? And that's kind of what drives all of that conversation.
Okay. I noticed on the Roam, and this is just a personal question where, because I like webbing seating sometimes, and not having a cushion. I know that a I know on the Rome, we have a picture of the web seating and then a cushion seating on another one. Does it come standard with the webbing and then you add a cushion on top of it, or how does that work?
Yeah. So all of our stands come with a, I'm trying to make sure that my statement's correct. Yeah. All of our stands come with a slip-on seat cushion. Mm-hmm. So, you can run it without it on the Ion, Rubicon, and the Rome, because it's got that mesh seating underneath it. So, but then the Fly and the Superfly, those have a metal plate. So obviously you're gonna put that on there so your butt don't get sore. But
gotcha. Okay. All right. Yeah, because I'm just looking at some of the videos and the pictures there, and I have a. Man, I always have had a cushion seat type of deal. And then my dumb ass leaves the cushions out and then the squirrels eat them up. But the squirrels, I have another tree stand where I have the webbing option and the squirrels don't mess with that. So, and it's almost like it's broken in now to where it fits my butt real good. And I really like that option. So, next year, 5 years, 10 years down the road, like where does XOP plan to be as far as their offerings? Is their demographic going to change? What's the product look like?
Yeah, I think we love our demographic and the fact that we can hit so many people and still bring them so much value, because they're getting way more than what they typically could within the industry.
Right.
So we want to beat the industry standard in quality, but also in affordability. And so that's important to everybody at XOP. Barring some huge change, that's going to stay the same. We're going to keep pushing the envelope. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, still offering the wide range of product items. Because again, I go back to we all do that. Like I said, I have farms around here, but I also obviously we're going on content hunts that we're doing. So it's, you know, you need to have both. You need to have the Rubicons, the Ions, the Edge platforms, but then also have the ultralight. Pushing the envelope in that, because we put ourselves in generally hairy situations when it comes to our adventure hunts. And so we need to be able to, have gear that can be toted around for a week in the woods before you see anybody. And so as long as this team's there, that's our mindset and that's our direction. We really want to push. We're really, like I mentioned a little bit on, you know, new material and stuff. We're continuously looking at our options as far as those go and testing out that kind of stuff. So I think that's going to be the big thing going forward, you know, new alloys and everything like that, people developing and stuff. You're seeing it with Expedition Bows and, you know, the Maglite, I think it's called, that they're doing and everything. So, I think that's going to, and we've been playing around with it. So that's going to be a huge part of it for us. But I think it's XOP has always been a household name. You just didn't know a lot of times guys just didn't know they had the gear.
Yeah.
Because our marketing wasn't matching, what it is now. And now, you know, people know they got XOP gear. And they're more and more people are recognizing that. And so we want to be, our goal is, as we joke, is world domination. And we feel we have the team to do it. So that's kind of where our mind is I've, I ADHD fully, I got it to the nines. So, an example of that, I went down the rabbit hole of looking at, hey, what's it, I saw this reel about how bad the bears were in Japan. And like they're way overpopulated, like in some areas and not safe and all this. And it's because like the hunting population is declining so much. So I started digging into like, hey, what's YouTube, you know, bear hunters, deer hunters in Japan look like? And like, how do, you know, I sent the guys a, Brock and Sam, I sent them a reel. I said, hey, what do you guys think about going to Japan to do an adventure hunt? So we're like, that's kind of where our heads go is there's really nothing we can't touch and we can't, meet the needs of, and help bring products to facilitate the success out in the woods for, and we're open to any and all of it. So, we've got people that are working on some cool stuff in New Zealand. We've got people that are working on cool stuff, like I said, in Montana and out west. And then I've got this harebrained thing about bears in Japan. So it's there's a ton that there's really nothing we can't do. And like I said, in our heads, it's world domination. We're just waiting for the world to catch up, kind of a deal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. One of my last questions I have for you today is if someone's listening to this, why should they make the decision to go purchase an XOP?
That's a good question. I would say, does it meet your needs? Like, I don't want you to come buy some of our product just because, it looks cool or it feels cool. And then it just sits on the shelf. Right. I want you to, as a hunter, to actually be thinking, do I need this? Am I going to use it? And is it going to help me? Mm-hmm. If it hits all of those, awesome. Buy it. If it doesn't, then you don't need it. Just the fly and the super fly look so cool. They are amazing tree stands, but they're also still generally, and the revolt, they're still generally only for like that. I don't want to say top, but that like niche market of like 10% mm-hmm. in reality. So just because it's there doesn't mean you need it. So I would people rather really look at their needs and their goals and their dreams as far as it when it comes to hunting and their style and everything and the adventures that they want to chase and filter their product selection through that list, through that lens. Mm-hmm. That's what I did. That's how I got started with XOP. I wanted to try saddle hunting, but I didn't want to spend $700 to $1,000 to try it out. XOP dropped the Renegade harness. It was a saddle hybrid with the tree stand harness, and it was okay. It filled the gap perfectly for what I wanted to do. So I bought it that day and then reached out to the brand and we started working together. So, that's the most important thing that I check with people, and I'll steer them away from a more expensive product mm-hmm. if it's not the right product, right? Like if they actually, it's like, no, you don't actually need the fly. What you need is the Roam or the Rubicon. And I would people rather buy based on that because then they're going to be happy for decades and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's what I want to see.
Yeah. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, good luck this upcoming season. Where should people go to find XOP products, take a look at it, things like that?
XOPOutdoors.com. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. I think we're on the TikTok. We got a lot of hunts coming out this year on YouTube and everything. So stuff will be launching there. We're looking at a new product launch, August timeframe is what we're looking at. So ready and right before season. So, which is going to be fun. So we're going to be filming that here soon. So we've got the new gear and been playing around with it for quite a while. So
perfect. Perfect. Well, Tom, I really appreciate you taking time to hop on here and talk to us about XOP. Good luck this upcoming season. Be safe. And I guess we'll talk to you when we talk to you, man.
Thanks, man. Sounds good. Thank you.